If you'll find 1 Peter in your right hand, chapter 2, and Philippians chapter 3 in your left hand. All right, 1 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. Says, wherefore laying aside all malice. How many of you know what malice is? What's malice? It's more than hatred, Tony. Okay, evil intent. Malice is the attitude you have when you're angry. Malice is you thinking about what you're going to do to that person. That's malice. You may be upset, but when your mind starts scheming about how you're going to get even, that's malice. So the Bible says, wherefore, what are we supposed to do with any kind of malice that comes up in our heart? We're to lay it aside. And all, what's the next word? What's guile? Cunning. Guile is deception. It is lying. So you put aside all lying and hypocrisies. Are there any hypocrites in the church tonight? We're all. But you know what? You shouldn't be a hypocrite on purpose. You should know about things that you are hypocritical about and just live flippantly about. No, put aside any hypocrisy you have that you know if somebody found out, they could point their finger at you and say, that is wrong. Hypocrisies and envy. Oh, why did he have to say that? That's a 21st century sin, isn't it? All we do is we envy. I'm envying Pat and Leo right now. They're going to Lanzarote. I had to lay that aside. God bless them. They got good kids. I wish I had good kids like you do. Right? Come on, hint, hint, Ruth. Come on. Now, come on. Hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking. You know, I wish it would just be, thou shalt not murder. That'd be easy, you know. I've never murdered anybody. But these things, we all have problems with. Replace it with verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 10. Paul cries out and has this, look at this intense desire that he has, that I may know him. Who's the him? Jesus. And I want to know the power of the resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable, being made like unto his death. Paul wasn't afraid of dying, and he says, I hope I get to die like Jesus did. Wow. If I can just know him better. Now, steps of Christian growth. You're supposed to grow if you're a Christian. That's the truth. And God calls us to grow. As a matter of fact, if you'll find your way now to back to First Peter. I said first, it's 2 Peter, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, add knowledge, and to knowledge, you add what? Temperance, and to temperance, you add patience, and to patience, godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. You're setting out something, you're stepping on top of it. You're living there. Then you're putting something else out there. You're adding more to your life. Jesus said, Paul said it, that when we build our lives, we build on Jesus Christ. Be careful how we build, though. These are the building blocks of your life. You build virtue into your life, and then you stand on that. Then you add knowledge, and then temperance and patience. And you're not where you should be until all of those things are in motion. And that makes you fruitful. Keep going. It says there, In verse 8, for if these things be in you, and what? If they're let loose, if they're abounding, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the things that we need to put in our life. And I compare it to a good verse in Psalms that says, the steps of a good man are ordered by his wife, right? They're ordered by the Lord. God shows us what we need. I think I need a car. I think I need a house. I think I need a wife. I think I need this. God says, I think you need faith first. God says, I think you need virtue next. You see, God lays out the steps, and we need to delight in the way. Though he fall, anybody ever fall? Anybody ever fallen? Sometimes you get lost there in your tenses. But have you ever fallen on your way as you're trying to do right? Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For the Lord, what's he doing? He upholdeth him with his hand. God's holding on to you. If you fall, he will not let you go all the way back down. Thank God. So, he says there in verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, that means the work's on me, the effort's on me now. Add to your faith what we learned last week. What's the key word? What's the word? Virtue. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, add knowledge. Now, when we talk about knowledge, we're talking about personally knowing something to be true, not just accepting it as true. It is easy for you to come to church and to just go, I like that. Oh, yeah, I believe that. But you don't know if it's true or not. Is it not easy to watch on television to believe somebody on, if it's visual, if it's on the TV, it must be true? Is it possible to be duped and to be lied to and deceived? Of course it is. Especially with religion. And there are countless numbers of religions where people just accept whatever the leaders say, whatever the dogma says, whatever the church says. You know what? You need to know that it's true. That's why salvation is not something that's for corporately, for a whole group of people. It's for individuals. You must be born again, Jesus said. So, by way of review, we all start off spiritually dead. Say, now I was 17 when I got saved. Some people in this room weren't saved until they were 35. Some people weren't saved until they were way up in years, like 40. But we all were, until the moment we got saved, we were spiritually dead. God didn't hear us, and we didn't hear Him. We were religious, or maybe we were the other. We were sinful, but in both situations, we were lost. But we heard the gospel. You know, hopefully most everybody in this room is here because somebody told you about what Jesus Christ did. You heard about the good news along with the bad news. Kevin, what's the bad news about the gospel? There's bad news with it. You know that, don't you? The bad news is if you don't get saved, if you just continue the way you are, you're going to end up in hell. But you heard the other side. Jesus paid for a new trip for you. Be able to get you to heaven. So we heard the gospel. And we responded in faith. What did we have to do to get saved? We didn't need to be baptized. We didn't need to join the church. We didn't need to give any money. We didn't need to do any good works. All we had to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save us, wash us from our sins, make us His child. Respond in faith. All you had to do is just believe. There's no works involved. It's just believe. Then, like we learned last week, we start adding virtue. Anybody remember what virtue means? Jennifer? Yes. You start putting some limits and you add. Now, the Holy Spirit will help you, but you'll start saying, you know what? I used to go down that street and go down to that pub. I'm not going down that street anymore. I used to watch that television program and I used to know what's coming up, and I'm not going to watch that TV channel anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get rid of the channel. Amen. Virtue is you saying, And you have the strength to do right. Did you know the easiest time to do right is right after you get saved? The easiest time to put down the cigarettes, the easiest time to get rid of the television, the easiest time to drop the friends is right when you get saved. You are so clean, you're so excited, you're so new. The older you are in the Lord, and the more stubborn you are to put stuff down, the harder it gets. And it doesn't matter. God still says, add virtue. Add some barriers between how you're living now and how you used to live. Can a Christian ever end up back under the bondage of their sin? Yes or no? Yes, you can. And who's to blame? You are. So you add virtue. Virtue means the inner strength to do right. And God gives you that as you want it. When you don't want it, God can't. You say, why do I keep getting these same mistakes? Why do I keep doing all this? Why didn't God stop me from doing? He wants to stop you, but He wants you to want to be stopped. After we add virtue, we now add, the Bible says, add knowledge. Cool. Now I'm only going to begin this thing and we'll stop and we'll finish it later, next time. This is a great thing, all right? When it talks about knowledge, when it comes to knowledge, we read there, look back in 1 Peter 2, I'll show you this thing. Trying to decide where I'm going to quit here so that we can just get into it and then I'll pick up later. No way we cover all this material here. Just want to give you something, maybe encourage you this week. 1 Peter chapter 2, wherefore laying aside, this is virtue, folks, right here. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. This is desire the sincere milk of the Word. This is very important to understand, because I've got a thought here that I wish it was here, but it'll have to wait just a minute. You need to know some things. As a Christian, you need to grow, and the only way you can grow is by the Word of God. The purpose of growing in my personal knowledge is so that I have some answers for the problems I go through. Remember when you go before you ever got saved, you remember how many times you asked why, God? You remember that? You know, the older you are in the Lord, the less you ought to ask that, because you ought to be getting some answers. And I can't give you all the answers. Who's responsible for getting you the answers for all the whys and the problems in your life? You are. Amen. You need to have some answers for the uncertainties and all those troubles. In other words, let me say it this way. If you could just know, that's why the Bible says add some things that you know. Because if you could just know some things, then the devil will not be able to scare you as easily. I've been driving down the road and the car make a funny sound. And your heart stops. And you always imagine the worst, don't you? Well, the engine's going to fall out. So you take it to the mechanic, and if you have a bad mechanic, he will exploit you. Oh, this is serious, you know. If you have a good mechanic, he'll say, no, this is just a little loose. Let me go get my ratchet. You're on your way. You know, it's nice when somebody knows what the problem is. And when you know what the problem is, you can say, it's all right. I can get to my destination. If you know some things, the devil's not able to scare you so easily. Knowledge. And I love that the Bible says, John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But that's where I got my faith. But I'm supposed to add to my faith what? Knowledge. No, add to my faith virtue. And then I need to start adding some Bible knowledge, some ways so that the truth can make me free. I'm knowing the truth. There's nobody to blame for why you got messed up in your past. There's nobody to blame but you. You know that, then all of a sudden it changes the way you look at people. People aren't to blame. And your prayer life changes because you know they need what you've now got. You know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I like this picture. I don't know if nobody ever notices, but this is a cat. And this is a row of German shepherds. Now, what would normally happen to that cat? devoured, it would have been a very quick dinner. But those dogs are very well trained, and that cat's not bothered at all. That cat evidently knows that it's safe. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of knowledge? But you get up tomorrow and the car won't start. You got a heavy cough. You have aches and pains you never had before. A bill comes in the door. You don't know how you're going to pay it. Wouldn't it be nice to just be able to keep on going? Because you know that things are going to be all right. That is what you're adding to your life. Okay? So, what is this thing called biblical knowledge? What is it? Well, knowledge alone is wrong. See, Pastor, teach me the Bible. I'm ready to learn the Bible. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:2, 1:3, 1:4, 1:5, 1:6, 1:7, 1:8. I know the Bible. Knowledge alone is wrong. Did you know Einstein was very brilliant, but he was one of the stupidest men I would ever want to meet. All he ever gave us was a bomb, folks, so we could blow ourselves up. Einstein was not very smart. He had knowledge, no wisdom. Information and education fills people's minds with facts, names, places, events, statistics. Do you know what it fills you up with? Pride. Knowledge alone will kill you. Martin Luther said, education without salvation equals damnation. And he was right. And the kids that are in the national schools, the kids that are sitting there being well-educated, are going to hell faster than you and I were, because it's puffed up, pure information, and there's no connection, there's no relationship, there's no understanding how it fits under the plan of God. Knowledge by itself is wrong. God's knowledge is what we need. See, knowledge is a confidence, an assurance in what I know to be true and real, in spite of how I feel. You know, I may feel like things are bad, but I know, according to him, things are good. Knowledge also is an intimacy with some things. It is a closeness with something, like knowing something through and through, not just skimming or treating it superficially, like knowing God. What did Paul say? We read it, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. At that point, I'm guessing Paul said, serving God, starting churches for 25 years by then. And yet, what is his wish? That I can know him more. I can know him better. It is an intimate type of love, of knowledge. Like it is when two people fall in love. They just want to get to know each other. I didn't know that made you laugh. Oh, I didn't know that was your favorite color. Oh, I didn't know that was your favorite food. Knowledge is becoming intimate with something. Like God, like the Bible. How intimate are you with that book?
Well, I know there's 66 books in there.
Yeah, but do you know the 66 books? Well, I've memorized chapters. Yeah, but how well do you know the author of the chapter? You see, we're talking about getting to know something. Knowing some Bible. Like knowing my wife. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, likewise, ye husbands. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to, there's our word, according to knowledge. Do you dwell with them according to knowledge or only according to feelings? Or only according to spontaneous events? Do you just, let's go do this, let's go do that, here you go. Or do you know her? Do you know her? You know, like knowing your job. You know, the longer you work someplace, you ought to know it better. You ought to become more intimately aware with the equipment, with the people. A supervisor, a boss, likes somebody that's into their job instead of trying to clock out so fast. Knowledge is an intimacy with some things. And knowledge is something to be proven to be true. You must be able to prove what you know, or else it's just a guess or a feeling. Sometimes people ask me something. Sometimes I just say, this is my guess. There's some things I can't fully exactly say. So this is my educated guess. But there are some things I can prove. And that's what knowledge is. Some things that I know, that I know, that I know. Do you have anything like that? Lastly, I'm going to stop on this thing. You need to grow in that knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter. Peter seems to have a theme of growing and knowledge. 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter have that those two words throughout the books. But 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in what?" Remember just 20 minutes ago, what were we doing? Just before we participated and partook of the Lord's Supper, what were we doing? Yes, we were remembering. We were reminding ourselves. We were challenging. What do we know about that event? Is it something we've heard but never just stopped and went, That's what the Lord's Supper's for. It's to remind us of all those details. And Peter says, now add more detail. Grow in that knowledge. What you think you know, you need to know more of. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you know you're backslid, Pastor? How do you know you need revival? How do you know you need church? Because if I'm not growing more now than I was last year, I'm in trouble. Because you know what life is? It's a pretty steep hill. And right now, it's getting steeper. And if you're not putting more effort into learning what is true, if you're not learning your Bible, that's what knowledge is. We need to add the Bible to our life, page by page, chapter by chapter. Say, when will I finish learning? You never will. It never ends. But you ought to be growing in it. Do you know your wife? And you don't have to ask her any more questions. Does she ever change her mind? Get to know. Marriage is a constant growing in knowledge, isn't it? And the Christian life is the same. Biblical knowledge is not just facts, people. I mean, I could say, you know, who was... come on, give me a name here, Ledbetter. Who was Ehud? Yeah, there's somebody that knows. All right, good. But you could say, I know who Ehud was. He was this really big guy that got a dagger shoved into his side. All right. You can know all that. Good. But do you know how that information can help somebody? Has that information ever helped you? Have you ever known why did God put it in the Bible? He didn't write the Bible to entertain us, did he? He wrote the Bible to change us. So Bible knowledge is more than just information. Bible's knowledge is God's knowledge that gives me assurance when my heart says panic. When the troubles and storms around me say quit. And it gives me an intimacy. I can't explain it other than this way, and I'll stop with this. There is something supernatural that happens when a Christian listens to this book and spends time becoming very close to it. Because how does God speak? Does he come like this and go, "Damn!" Is that how God speaks? How does God speak? He speaks through, I'll come to that in a second, through a still. Is that Bible moving? Small voice. Pick it up. The words aren't multimedia. They're stationary. As I read them. So I'm not listening. I don't hear anything. Keep reading. Still don't hear anything. Keep reading. All of a sudden, they'll start talking to you. Something happens when you become intimate with this book. That's how God speaks to you. And you know, when you close the book and you head off to work, the words stay in your heart. They bounce around inside of your empty head. That was funny. And he speaks to you all day long. And what's funny is the Holy Spirit will bring that verse up and it'll just lay it right on your heart and you'll go, "Oh, that's good." And you get to know God a little bit more and a little bit more as you spend loads of time in this Bible and let it spend loads of time in you. So, he says, add to your virtue what? Now, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, it's a Sunday night crowd. But I don't take anything for You guys are headed Lanzarote?
Take your Bible.
I know they will. Nothing wrong with taking your Bible to school. I know you've got 8 hours solid of stuff going on. But you get some time while you're eating your lunch, pull out your Bible. Pull out your Bible, read every chapter. Start in Matthew, read chapter 1, chapter 2, keep reading. Why? Because you're adding to your faith, virtue, and you're adding to virtue, knowledge. I just want to know Him. I want to know, I want to have some answers. When the world, when my teacher says, billions of years ago, there was the cosmic burp. After the burp, there was indigestion. After the indigestion, there was diarrhea. After diarrhea, there were monkeys, and after monkeys, there was you. That's not funny. But that's what they say. They use it more polished words. And you need some kids to be able to say, no. I know how we got here. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The only way they know that is because they've read it. They've seen it, and they know it. They know it. They know it. Let's get into some prayer.